Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
Rosh Hashanah marks the start of a new year, a time of humble prayer, joyful celebration, and hope for a new beginning.
We know there is more that unites peoples of faith than divides us. So as Ramadan draws to a close, let us hold on to that spirit of community throughout the year.
Here you have a global organization that is spiritual and yet will bring together Muslims, Jews, Christians, and say, look, we all agree that there's some good big thing out there, but we're not going to put a label on it. Let's worship together.
In our culture, we have a three-headed monster, what I call the unholy trinity: pluralism, relativism, and universalism.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I don't know about you, but for Craig in there, countdown to weekend fun in Atlanta, he's chomping at the bit to step out of the studios this afternoon, this Friday afternoon, and be on his way to a fun, I think it's racing he's going to see down in Atlanta. Have a good weekend with his buddies down there. For the rest of us, we remain where we are, and we bring you Issues, etc. faithfully, as we always do, starting this Friday with listener email. We do blog of the week, and we'll do soundbite of the week here in the first hour of the program, because the second hour of the program today on this Friday afternoon, September the 25th, is devoted to an hour-long hymn study with Dr. Arthur Just. This hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, is not only a new hymn, it is the best of a new hymn with the best of old theology. It harkens back to some of the most ancient hymns in the Christian tradition. We'll study it in the next hour of Issues, etc. with Dr. Arthur Just. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, and we'll get to your email here in just a second. Or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Let's go straight to the email. We very seldom do this. Sometimes we just sit and jab for a while, but let's...
Actually, I wanted to jab for a while.
Okay.
People need to know this racing thing. What is it, Le Mans or something?
It's like a Le Mans-style race.
Le Mans, like Le Mans class? What is that, how you pronounce it? What is it?
Well, it's Le Mans racing. It's the same cars. It's the same class of racing that that's in the race every year, every June in France at Le Mans.
I thought you didn't like France. I thought you were like the conservative talk radio guys who, you know, everything in France was bad. What's going on?
I mean, Craig? He once told me that when he went to New York City and he was completely unimpressed with the Statue of Liberty because it was just made by Frenchmen.
What did they say? They're not French fries. They're freedom fries. It's not French toast. It's freedom toast.
I don't know. My kids still ask for French toast on Saturday morning.
Here's what I know. But because of this Le Mans class or whatever Craig's going to this weekend, the second hour we had to tape. Craig's got to catch a flight.
You didn't have to say that. I did not say that.
Well, I figured people would eventually, hopefully, figure out that you know that you don't give phone numbers and email addresses. It's not a call in our show. But for Craig, what do? Yeah. We adjust all of our schedules
exactly.
For Craig.
So,
he can go to Le Mans class.
He can go and have his weekend fun watching racing, doing those things that a bachelor does, and even the rigid schedule of the rigid broadcast schedule of Issues, etc., is bent for Craig.
A heartfelt thanks to both of you for making room in your schedule.
Hey, I get to go home early.
That's right.
Can you sense the excitement here in Collinsville? Are you not sensing it? I'm not seeing it in your body language.
What do you mean? The excitement over Craig going to Atlanta?
No, tonight is homecoming here in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville High School homecoming.
Was that that feeling of electricity that I sensed when I got off the freeway?
Yes.
Yeah. I hear you're going to the homecoming, and you're actually going to root for Collinsville.
No. I'm not going there. Look, let's
He's going to root for Collinsville instead of his his hometown, Edwardsville. This is what I hear.
That's how I feel, but I'm sure once the game gets going, I can never cheer for the Purple Menace. Or as we used to say, Purple Puke, when I was in Edwardsville High School. See, Craig,
what's the mascot?
Craig, their mascot is the Kayhawks, an Indian, which is politically incorrect nowadays. And our mascot is the Tigers. Now, Craig is an alum of Collinsville High School. I'm an alum of Edwardsville High School. If listeners have been listening over the last year, Collinsville beat us in football for the first time since 1984. 1984. There was a ticker tape parade downtown on Saturday the next day. It was huge. And not only they beat us, how badly? What was the score, Craig? Craig still has the story cut out and posted on the wall here. What was the score of the game? 59-28. It killed us. Now, here's the deal. The deal is we had a Hall of Fame football coach leave our school 2 years ago for a suburban Chicago school.
Oh,
he's going to
this.
State playoffs and everything. And we got a new coach now with a newfangled offense, and his one of his chief goals is to make football fun for the kids. Well, it's not turning out so well for the orange and black. So I don't know. I think Collinsville might get us tonight. And if Collinsville beats us, we might have a new football coach.
Well, that's a possibility. What kind of offense is he running?
He runs this single wing offense. It was like something that was created in like the 1940s where there's like all this deception going on in the backfield. The problem you have is that Edwardsville doesn't have as good of athletes as East St. Louis and East St. Louis of national rank fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Belleville East, Belleville West, O'Fallon. We have better athletes in Collinsville and Granite, but that's about it in the conference. So it's not an offense. Our old coach was grinded out.
That's what I want to see. I mean, that's what the high school kids need to be taught. They need to be taught to play football on the field and leave the passing for if you make it into the pros. And even then, spend most of your time on the ground.
Jeff, all this deception in the backfield. I'm sorry, but I don't think they're fooling anybody.
Well, you're right, and our record shows it. We lost to East St. Louis, I think, 48-15 last week, and they could have really – they beat the team the week before, Alton, 77-7, and they didn't score in the last quarter. The coach really could have run up on us. But, yeah, it's
wait, 77-7 yeah. Isn't running it up?
No, they didn't beat us that badly. The week before East St. Louis beat Alton High School by that much.
I see.
And they could have beaten us probably the same. It was 48-7 going last quarter, and he kind of called the dogs off. Or else it could have been another 77-7 debacle.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah,
see what happens tonight.
Big, big game. Huge game.
And Craig
Huge
won't game. Be around. We'll call you. I promise. We'll call you.
And my weekend's exciting, more exciting than Craig, because not only am I going to the Edwardsville Collinsville homecoming football game, afterwards, my beloved other alma mater, the Missouri Tigers, play on ESPN against Nevada, kickoff at 8 Central tonight. So we'll after the football high school game, we'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings, watch the second half of my Missouri Tigers, who I think have a better chance of winning than my Edwardsville Tigers do.
All right.
And then tomorrow, we're coming in here to record 4 hours with Pastor Whedon.
Going to make my weekend, yeah.
So Todd can go on a cruise the first full week in October. How come I don't get Lamas or cruises or anything like that, you know?
Hey, I got to say, this, so that people don't think that we're just, you know, tossing money out the window. I think this cruise is costing me all of like $200. Pastor Kaysman, who's been a guest on the Pastor's Roundtable here, found these cruise tickets, and they went from being cheap to being even cheaper, so we're not turning it down. I don't know, Jeff. I don't know why you stay home and watch football when you could be out doing things like, you know, experiencing life. I don't know.
Oh, well, I've got four little ones. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's when they're true. Like, you know, older, you know, they're on their own and they, you know.
They're never on their own, Jeff.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're never
that's
on
good
their own.
Hey, how about some email? I'm thinking since this segment has been billed, listener email, maybe we should get to, I don't know, one or two.
Yeah, sure.
This is Brian in
Let's
Royal.
Let's try it for a change.
Brian in Royal Oak, Michigan writes, "So I'm listening to your recent show about the crucifix in the grocery store. Todd asked whether I'd hesitate to shop in a store with a prominently displayed Muslim crescent. This makes me wonder," Brian writes, "is it a good idea for Christians to eat halal meats? Is the Muslim-specific practice of slaughtering an animal really a sacrifice? I honestly don't know what they do, but I've heard that it involves a prayer every time. Do others ever regularly sacrifice foods to gods? Is there any reason to worry about eating in an Indian restaurant? do we Christians unwittingly reinforce the common stereotype that their God is the God by not knowing their everyday practices? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Brian, in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Yes, thanks for listening, Royal Oak. I am not an expert on either Jewish or Islamic or Indian food preparation practices. My understanding of halal is it is a means by which a devout Muslim ensures that the food he eats is not among those which are condemned by Allah. So, properly slaughtered, I don't think it's a sacrifice. I mean, you could ask the same thing about eating kosher meat. Kosher meat is butchered under kosher standards, maybe not with the rabbi looking on, but under the supervision of an Orthodox rabbi. And there's all sorts of kosher food out there as well. It isn't dedicated to God in that sense. I mean, it's simply trying to adhere to the dietary laws of either, in the case of kosher, Judaism, and in the case of halal, Islam. Now, I will say this. As long as it's not involved some sort of sacrifice to gods, which I think Scripture is quite clear that Christians ought to be careful not only for their own conscience, but also and especially for the conscience of their neighbor, go ahead and eat whatever meat is put in front of you. If you do have qualms of conscience about this, then don't. That is St. Paul's counsel. And with regard to food sacrificed to idols, I mean, if such a thing exists today, sacrificial foods to false gods, he is quite clear that in that respect, Christians ought to be very, very careful. And while conscience may permit, the neighbor's conscience is what actually rules the day here. And he also warns us not to mingle the table of the Lord with the table of demons. I think that's all we need to say, since there's no sacrifice involved there. We're going through listener email. When we come back, we'll hear some more from our listeners via email. We'll respond. Then we'll pick Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's Friday, September the 25th. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance. Not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning. Cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte. Not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is kind of a Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and Lutheran exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
If you believe that a man rose from the dead, then any other miracle in the Bible is almost like God's parlor trick compared to that.
I can walk right up to the bed and say, Ralph, you're dying. always a shock on the family's face, and their jaws drop. You're not supposed to say stuff like that.
You can never forget that Mark Hansen, the bishop of the ELCA, comes from a pietistic family that, in the absence of theological training and documentation, relies on manipulation to bring the feeling about.
I know Christ is living me because, you know, I've been doing some good things. Okay, well, let's use that. How good have you been? Is your goodness going to match up to God's demand of perfect obedience according to his law?
Just a taste of the sound bites we put in front of you for Soundbite of the Week coming up here in about 20 minutes on Issues, Etc. It's Friday, September the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through some listener email. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. If you follow us at Twitter, our address @issuesetc. Of course, this occurred to me the other day. If you're following us at Twitter, you already know our Twitter address. So if you don't follow us at Twitter, you can find us at Twitter @issuesetc. And then you can also send your comments, your questions, and your votes for Soundbite of the Week coming up here in a little bit. And our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's Steve calling from St. Louis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well.
Great. Hey, the one thing I'd like to comment on, it was the interview you had in regards to the Project Truth that focused on the family came out with.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting that was pointed out was the fact it was gospel light, law heavy. And I have found that's a common thing that comes out of issue about focus on the family. It's almost law heavy, somewhere between moralism and confusion of law gospel. And the other part of it is the fact that James Dobson, being Nazarene, they're very heavy on the law, and they tend to be more light on the gospel.
Steve, thank you very much. First of all, we talked with Pastor John Ferguson of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis about the Truth Project, which is this program from Focus on the Family, which is basically about educating Christians back into a biblical worldview. I don't say Christian worldview because... although a biblical worldview should be a Christian worldview, we're talking about a biblical morality worldview rather than a fully blown Christian worldview. Because, as we discovered in the course of that conversation, the Truth Project is not just heavy on the law and light on the gospel; it's heavy on the law, and the gospel doesn't even exist in the Truth Project. It's simple moral teaching. Now, in and of itself, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You might ask, "Look, why is it that you guys would?" With less critically on something like the Truth Project, which doesn't contain any gospel, than you would on something like the Purpose-Driven Life, which does contain some gospel. I'll tell you exactly why. Because what the Purpose-Driven Life presents is a confusion of law and gospel. What the Truth Project presents is simply law without gospel. And so we can say of the Truth Project, it is true insofar as it goes. There's nothing untrue in it, but what it lacks is the second testimony of Holy Scripture, which is the response to the law's accusations with the gospel, which, of course, a pastor can provide. The problem with things like the Purpose-Driven Life is it isn't true insofar as it goes. It is a profound confusion of law and gospel, and you can't pile more gospel on top of the Purpose-Driven Life and answer the errors in there. It's not a matter of you can't bone spit something when the whole fish is rotten. When you've got just the tail and all you need is the head, then you could say, all right, we've got half a fish here, and that's what you have with the Truth Project. But that's Pop American Christianity. The failure to understand that the Christian worldview doesn't only encompass the morality of the Bible, that is the law, but also the answer to that law's accusations in the perfect work of Jesus Christ. That's also typical of Pop American Christianity. When they do have law and gospel, they usually tend to confuse them profoundly. So you're left with neither law nor gospel.
Sorry about that. Here's an email from Roger in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Your description of gospel reductionism sounds a lot like a Lutheran version of antinomianism. Care to comment? Writes Roger in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
The two are related. We talked some weeks ago about gospel reductionism, which is kind of the old trick of classical Christian liberalism, reducing the reducing the teachings of Christian doctrine down to all that matters is the nude gospel. All that matters is the basic message of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And if you don't fiddle with that, you can fiddle with everything else. Classical gospel reductionism. It leads to antinomianism. It isn't coterminous with antinomianism, but it leads to a profound disregard for God's law. And if you doubt this, you look at any mainline church body where gospel reductionism has had its way, and you will find, sooner or later, a complete disregard for the law of God. You know, Lutherans go in for a bad rap. They're often accused of being especially susceptible to antinomianism, a disregard for God's law. I don't buy that. I think Lutherans are especially susceptible to both legalism and antinomianism. They are equal and opposite errors, and they are both rightly responded to by a clear and proper distinction between law and gospel.
You might want to qualify Lutherans. Do you mean Missouri Synod Lutherans? You say Lutherans get a bad rap because you just said mainline.
Well, what I'm saying is there's a myth among Lutherans that the real problem out there is that we put too much emphasis on the gospel and people aren't going to care about the law. That's a myth. We are susceptible to both disregarding the gospel and disregarding the law. And the answer is always the proper distinction between the two.
Here's an email from Beth in Lebanon, like the country Lebanon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Not Lebanon, Illinois, here in Illinois. There might be a Lebanon. I think there's a Lebanon, Missouri.
There is. Too far from here, by the way.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, first of all, in Lebanon. I listened to your broadcast about the Rosary Crucifix hubbub and had a good laugh. We've recently moved back to Lebanon from Kuwait. In Kuwait, every store, big or small, has something up somewhere containing verses from the Quran. Here in Lebanon, almost every store has religious pictures of some kind. If the owner is Christian, you find pictures of Mary, St. Charbel, St. Rivka, or crucifixes, sometimes all of the above, displayed. If the owner is Muslim, and then there are verses from the Quran. Even government offices, you can usually tell the religion of the official you're visiting based on what's on his wall. Add to that the political situation, flags and pictures of members of every political party, living or dead. Everywhere you look, there's something to offend somebody. But no one demands pictures or symbols be taken down. They just put up their own. Makes for rather colorful neighborhoods. And of course, which party you support determines how good a Christian or Muslim you are. They even decorate with the stuff. We live near a big summer resort town. While it's a Christian area, we're flooded with summer people from the Gulf countries and other parts of Lebanon who are Muslim. Everywhere they go to shop and sometimes to eat, they see Christian, specifically Maronite Catholic displays by the registers as well as political displays. Does that cause problems? Only with the amount of traffic we have to contend with. Americans like to preach tolerance. If they want to actually learn how to live it, they need to spend their summers here in Lebanon, writes Beth.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Beth, for a different perspective there. And I've heard this also from people who come to the United States. They're shocked at how religiously sterile our public places are because it's not common anywhere else, either in old Europe or in these other countries like Beth mentions. It's not common to have a completely sterile, religiously sterile public space. Only in America where we have this strange notion that we can have a completely naked public square, a place where the public square deals only with matters pertaining to the public good, the common good, and none of these other considerations, like religion, should enter into it. We do our best. We can't achieve it. I don't think it makes our discourse better. I think it stifles discourse, whether it's the symbols that we display or the way that we talk to one another in the public square.
Time for one more email. Lynn, right here in Collinsville. I'm an on-demand listener on my iPod when cleaning, ironing, doing yard work, or in the gym. Today, I heard the invitation to let you know what Issues Etc. means to me. This gives you some idea of how far I'm behind. It has given me a much better...
When did we run those spots?
Well, those spots, the anniversary is the last of June.
Yeah, beginning of the summer.
The spots were, a couple months before that probably. It's given me a much better understanding of why I'm a Lutheran, as I have better understanding of our doctrines and how these doctrines came to be. What else does issues, etc. mean to me? I realize more fully the meaning of Christ-centered cross focus and even pay more attention to the sermon to give it the sermon review test. It has made it much easier to explain to my grandchildren the importance of catechism classes and attending church regularly. It has made the discussions on long trips more interesting as we listen and discuss downloaded programs. Keep up the good programming. Keep the good programming coming. You do need to have another open house for us on-demand listeners, since a lot of us probably heard about it after the fact. Although if you did have one, I'd probably hear about it after the fact, too. God bless all of you, and thanks for listening, Lynn, right here in Collinsville, Illinois.
You know, it's the single downside I can possibly think of for our on-demand listeners, whom we do love so dearly. It's the only downside of listening on-demand, and that is when something comes up, like our anniversary event, and if you're behind a couple weeks or sometimes months, you don't hear about it right away. That's the only downside, though. And we continue, in spite of the fact that they might lag behind, might learn things a little later than those who listen live, we continue to love our on-demand listeners. It is true, when you're out there listening on your iPod, whether you're 2 weeks behind or 2 months behind, you are the backbone of the Issues Etc. listenership. There's no doubt about it. And we love you. When we come back, we'll pick Blog of the Week and play Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, September the 25th.
Sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for His saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. villagelutheranchurch.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Doctors in Spain say they'll go to prison before they do abortions. Spain has a new law legalizing abortion. The Minister of Justice says doctors cannot opt out if they object to killing unborn babies. Dr. Esteban Rodriguez isn't shy about his response. We will not kill our patients, he said. We are doctors, not executioners. Ironically, the liberal abortion law protects doctors who've been convicted of doing illegal abortions. At the same time, it will imprison pro-life doctors for refusing to do abortions. Dr. Rodriguez suggests the Minister of Justice come up with a new title for those involved in doing abortions. According to him, they should be called fetal executioners. Please keep these brave pro-life doctors in your prayers as they stand up for life, truth, and justice.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.